The main teaching today is about why God is good. So the first thing we're going to talk about is God is good. You know why God's good? Because God keeps his promises, right? How many of you guys know people or have family members that promise you things or they tell you certain things? And then you already know when they say it, you're like, yeah, right. Maybe. It's like a 50-50. Oh, call me. Call me for sure. We'll go, girl. Call me. No, I'm there. You need something to, I'm there, a model. And then you already know when they walk away, you're like, yeah, right. That guy's not going to call me. You know people like that? You know people like that, right? And I hope it's not you guys. let it not be us, right? But you know what? We know that people are fickle, right? Our commitments are kind of lukewarm a little bit in the culture that we live in, yes? It's kind of like if I feel like it, well, I wanted to, but I was tired, and I really meant to, right? But you know what? That's our human condition, a human promise. The God that we serve, man, he is good. He is faithful. He keeps his promises. You know how we know? Because we read this Bible, right? This whole book is all written about prophecies and about God's goodness. And it tells us, right? It tells us what? The prophetic. There's over, and I just read it to you last week. In the first sermon, I had 42 different scriptures that prophesize about Jesus' coming, right? And so we're going to read a couple of them this morning because promises matter, right? And so some of you guys may know, you guys know who the 16th president was? Anybody? He's on the $5 bill. Anybody? Abraham Lincoln, right? Now, he's kind of known, right, for being a president that was buttoned up, and he was, but did you guys know that he was abstinent? He never drank in his life? Did you guys know that? He didn't, right? Do you guys know why he didn't drink? Nobody. If anybody knows, I'll give you $20 right now. Oh, that's close. Good guess. She's trying. No. What it was is that when his mom was passing away at her deathbed, when he was nine years old, his mom called him to the deathbed. And she said, Abraham, I want you to make me a promise to me that you won't drink a day in your life, right? And so what did he do? That's a serious promise, right? Imagine if you're that age and he says, yeah, I promise, mom, I'm not going. Now, later on in his life, you think that he wasn't tempted? Man, if you just won, like we sell, like if your soccer team wins, everybody's like, yeah, like this. If our softball team wins, we with the champagne, right, Ricardo? Not me, Ricardo. We say, man, does pastor drink champagne? No, that's true. I just have a broken finger from my softball victory. That's a different story. No, in life, right, people have celebrations. You think that he wasn't tempted? You think that people didn't come talk to him about like, hey, and one time a lieutenant, a colonel, came and asked him and said, hey, have a drink with me, right? Like the peer pressure. And then he told him the story. He says, hey, I made this commitment to my mom when I was dying in her deathbed. You think that, and he asked him, he says, do you think that then I should give up on that promise to have this drink with you now? The lieutenant, of course, said, no, right? But that's just one person's promise, right? I went on to say the promises that we have in God. That's a good example of somebody keeping their promise here. But the God that we serve, man, his promises are awesome because he tells us all the time. So the first scripture that we're going to read out of today is out of Deuteronomy chapter 7. And we're going to read verses 6 and 8. So Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 and 8. And the first verse that I see there is out of, you guys there? All right, you guys can follow along too. It says, for you are people holy to the Lord your God. And the Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affliction on you and chose you because you are more numerous than other peoples, for you are the fewest of all people. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors that brought you out of the mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to thousands of generations, to those who love him and who keep his commandments, right? And so as we read that, right, this is just one foreshadowing. It's a foretelling, right? He says, you know what? You for us, right, as we celebrate Christmas, You're reminded, right, of God's goodness. Why did he send his son? He's foreshadowing, right, that I'm going to take you out of bondage, that I'm going to take you out of slavery, and that this blessing is going to extend, what, to thousands of generations, right? And so the promise is not unique, right? This is, again, out of the Old Testament, where he's telling them, right, about how he's going to free them from, or actually reminding them of how he's going to free them from Pharaoh's hand, out of slavery, out of bondage. And if any one of us, right, if we're honest, our life without God, right, is a life of imprisonment and bondage to what? To sin, to hurt, to depression, to anxiety. And this is what we celebrate this morning, or tomorrow morning, or this evening. We have a God that is true to his word, that he is faithful, and that he keeps his promises. So if you have your fill in the blank this morning, that's the first one there. It says, the Lord our God is faithful, and he keeps his promise. He's not like your friend, right? The one that you say, yeah, I'll be there, and you already know. No, our God is the real God. And he always, when he says it, right, you don't have to doubt it. When he says it, when it's written, that means that it's going to happen, right? And so this is in Deuteronomy chapter 7, he's foreshadowing and foretelling what's going to happen when Jesus Christ comes, right? And so we're going to move forward, right? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, we see even Jesus talking a little bit about that. In Matthew 5, 17, Jesus says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, by any means disappear until everything is accomplished, right? And so we can see, right, through the many accounts that we find in the gospel, in the book of Matthew, right, in the book of Luke. If you're always saying, looking for, wanting to read the Christmas story, right, read Luke chapter 2. It tells you all about it. Matthew chapter 1 as well. But what we're saying about this, right, and what Jesus is saying is himself telling you is to say, if it's written, it's going to happen, right? And so this is why he's also telling us that the prophecies about the Messiah that were told back then are coming to pass. Amen? In Isaiah chapter 7, 14, right? Isaiah chapter 7, 14, Isaiah is, again, a lot of the prophecies about Jesus Christ and his coming are foretold in that book. Isaiah chapter 7, 14 says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Virgin will conceive and will give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel, right? Now, to me, you hear that word a lot, right? Emmanuel, right? That is so unique. I'm being honest with you guys. I know we don't have a whole lot of time because it's like, Pastor, I smell the pozole outside. It smells good. The air is coming in. It's wafting in, right? It's like some of you guys like the cartoon already. You're starting to float over there, right? But if you look at our faith in Jesus Christ and why he's different from any other world religion, right? I'm here to specifically to talk about Christ, but it's God with us. Now, if you study, right? Now, first and foremost, before you do that, I want you to study this book, right? I'm always very careful about even saying or bringing up other kind of religions or different kind of practices, because first and foremost, we need to know what this book says, amen? And the Bible tells us too, right? You got to make sure that you know this word so you won't be easily deceived, right? But if we know and we study and we look at some of the other religions of the world, right? It's not God with us. That's what's unique. That's why we have a reason to celebrate this morning, right? Not only the prophecies that he was going to be born of a virgin, that he was going to come with us, that his name was going to be Emmanuel, right? In Isaiah 9:6, we read that he's going to be the Prince of Peace, a wonderful counselor, the government will be on his shoulders. Here's why it's different. Any other practice, it's not God with you. And that is unique. And that is a reason to celebrate. If you study some of the Eastern religions, right, some of the big ones, I'm not going to give them time here. It's the God that's out there. It's the God that's watching. It's the God that's away. And if you follow enough rules, enough works, you might right, end up in heaven. That's not the Christian faith, right? The gospel is what? That Christ came, that he died for our sins, that he was resurrected on the third day, and if we put our faith in him, not by works, that we can have a way and a relationship to the Father. That is so unique. And it's only found in this faith, guys. I mean, really honest with you. And another time you want to take me out to lunch, have an awesome conversation about different type of religions. 559-859-1098, text me or call me. Right? Jesse knows the line. What? You pray and I'll even pay. Or vice versa. You pay and I'll pray. But we'll have that conversation, right? This is why we have reason to celebrate, right? Because on this day, the 2.5, almost 3 billion followers of Christ, we get to proclaim that Emmanuel is with us. And when you just stop to think about what that means, that the creator of the universe, right, that the Son of God that was there came in the flesh, surrendered, I would say, even being in heaven with the Father to sacrifice for us, sinners, that we don't deserve it. We don't deserve mercy, guys. We deserve justice, right? We deserve his wrath. But God loves us like that, that we can then celebrate God with us. And not only does he come with us, right? He even tells us in John chapter 14, he says, but I'm going to prepare a place for you, right? And it's better that I leave so I can send you what? The Spirit. And so God not only says, I love you, I made a way for you, but I also am going to send you, right? I'm going to fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because this life is hard, right? Who can say here that the Christian life is number one, it's a blessed life. Let me just say that. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. But is it an easy life? It's not, right? But here, guess what? When you read this, I'm not surprised, right? If my Lord and Savior went to the cross for his sacrifice, for his love, do I think that my life should be a cakewalk? Should I be surprised that if I call myself a Christian, that I want to say, I want to do everything, but man, that picking up the cross every day, that's not for me. That's for Jesus. No, guys. The fact that God invites us and he comes and he fills us with his Spirit, Lord, fills us with his Spirit, the same Spirit, one of the three of the Trinity, right, gives us the strength to have victory in this life, guys. I mean that wholeheartedly. And so I'm excited. I get excited about Emmanuel with us because, man, praise God, right? Our worship leader, Jose, he's not here, but we do a devotion every day. We're kind of like on our launch team, and every day we kind of talk about there's a scripture, there's a devotion, reflect on it. And my wife's like, "You didn't do yours last time." I said, "I know, I'm guilty," but he did his this week, and he did say, he says, "Man, I wake up every morning and I say, Holy Spirit, surprise me today, right? Lead me where you, let me do what you want me to do. Guide me where you want to go. Surprise me and use me how you want me to be used today." Man, I was encouraged by that. I should say that. That should be my prayer every day. I do pray every day, right? But that's a little bit, like, to me, I'm more of a square. You guys really know my personality, right? I'm not as adventurous to say, "You want me to go talk to that guy?" Like, I'll say, "Maybe, if the time's right." Like, you know, it's just me. But it is, going back to the passage today, we have reason to celebrate because at Christmas we celebrate Emmanuel with us, God with us, guys. So the second fill in the blank is our God is not distant and he's not absent. Jesus is with us. Jesus is with us, right? How many of you guys watch football or sports? Have you guys seen that new campaign that you see a lot? Sometimes like people fighting and arguments, and then it says, what? Jesus gets us. Have you guys seen that? It's like the new campaign that's coming out. It's like, and I love it because it's like, It's talking about heartache. It's talking about different things. And he says, but you know what? Jesus gets us, right? This is what I was saying, is that God, right? If you talk about, if we understand, right, we a little bit go back and understand who God is. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Three persons, one God. Yes, the Trinity. When we say that he gets us, because he's not foreign, right? He's not absent. He's not away. You know how you know when somebody cares about you, when somebody loves you, they show up, right? They don't say, I'm too busy. I'm there, right? If you need me, I'm there. There's a handful of people in your life that you know like that. Yes? Right? Amen. No matter what, through thick and thin, even though it's like, I don't know what you got yourself into, but I'm there. If you need me, call me, right? The reason why we have reason to celebrate is because our God is not distant. God came. He didn't have to come, but he came. And he gives us the power of the Holy Spirit, right? And he comes to walk alongside us. And so the things that we go through, those are not things that, like, it's foreign, right? When you talk to somebody, have you ever talked to somebody when you're going through something, and you could tell clearly that they have no idea what you're talking about? They kind of just give you like a superficial, like, oh, it's going to be okay. You'll be okay. You know, pray about it, you know. But then you know it's different, right? I'm being honest with you. It's a superficial prayer. But you know it's different when somebody has gone through the same thing with you. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know when you've gone through heartbreak and disappointment and grief, and that person, what? They have compassion. You know what the word compassion stands for? It means to suffer with. And when Jesus Christ, when he was doing his earthly ministry, he said what? Jesus had compassion for them, right? And that's actually, I don't like to talk out of context, right? Because that's when Jesus saw Israel, right? And he says, man, it's like they have no, it's like a sheep without a shepherd, right? Now for us, as believers, right? When we celebrate that God is with us, that he's absent, that when I'm going through my go-through, and we all have it, it's not foreign to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That when I go through my disappointment, my heartache, my anger, whatever it is, the temptation, that I can go to my Lord and Savior, and he says, I know what you're going through. It's not a foreign thing to him. That I can come to him with all of my needs, and he sees me, and he encourages me through his scripture, through people, through prayer, right, to get me through it. My wife's life verse is what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Through Christ who strengthens me, the Holy Spirit who strengthens me, right? Philippians 4:13. I'm going to fast forward a little bit because I still got some, we have communion to do too. But this is, again, to me, it's like all the things that we talk about, right? When you go back and read Matthew chapter 2 and Luke chapter 2, we see all the prophecy, right, about how they were foretold, right? Micah chapter 5 verse 2 tells us that what? That the Savior was going to be born in the town of Bethlehem, right? And Luke chapter 2 is where we see that what? Joseph and Mary, they went back, right? They traveled down from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. You guys remember that? Yeah, just say yes. Just pretend like you remembered the sermon from 2 weeks ago. Amen. And so all we're saying is that God is a faithful God who keeps his promises, right? He was born in Bethlehem. And the reason why, again, if you don't take anything away from this entire message and this entire series, just remember Isaiah 9 verses 6 through 7, right? Isaiah 9 verses 6 to 7 is probably my favorite Christmas verse because it tells us, for unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace, right? And if we didn't have any other reason to celebrate, right, who doesn't need justice right now? Who doesn't need justice right now? Who doesn't need God's righteousness right now? And lastly, who doesn't need God's peace? That's the fill in the blank for number three. Jesus brings everlasting justice, righteousness, and peace. You see all these things on TV right now, right? All the justice movements, the this movement, Life Matter, and that life matters, and the Me Too, and it's all about justice and equality. But here we tell us that God, the government and justice will be upon his shoulders, right? Not only just in this life, guys, but in eternity. And his righteousness. And man, I don't know about you guys, but who doesn't need more peace, right? And that's different. When we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we surrender and submit our lives to him, you know what? The storms are going to come, guys. Let me be honest with you. The storms are going to come. But if my life is planted on Jesus Christ and he's my firm foundation, right? Paul says it best. He says what? For me to live is Christ, and to die is what? Is gain. It means no matter what this life has or throws at me, that he is with me, and it's Christ through me. If I'm rejected, it's not because I'm rejected, it's just rejecting Jesus. Even when he goes to evangelize, right? He shares the good news. He says, you know, even Jesus himself says, when you're going to be rejected, don't be surprised. They rejected the Messiah. Don't be surprised that they reject you. Right? Why are we surprised? But it's Christ with us, right? And it gives us that peace and that strength to persevere, not only in this life, but man, I always say, I already feel, right? And this is just my own. I always say, let me park the car for a little bit. You guys know, as I'm preaching, it's like, let me just tell you my own take on this. I know what my life was like without Jesus Christ. It was a life where I had success in the world, where I had certain things, and on the surface, it looked like I was had it all put together. And I'll tell you that on the inside, I was dying because I knew and I longed that something else, something was missing from my life. And the main thing that I lacked in my life, I'll be honest with you, is peace. That's why when I look at this verse and I tell you guys that Jesus Christ is going to be also known and called as the Prince of Peace, because that's my testimony, guys. That life is going to be hard. That in this life, you're going to have struggles, right? But what? Jesus says, Matthew 16:33, have no fear, I've overcome the world. And so when I get that, right, when I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, and he starts to work all these things out in my life, and I start to surrender all of the things, all the unforgiveness, all the pride, all the hurt, all the things that, then I always say, like, man, it's like a gate of just, I can't say it, but just like a dam of peace. Like I would say, just like a dam that just comes and flows through you. Man, that's why we celebrate Christmas morning, guys. Because God didn't stay out there. He came and he was born and he came flesh for a sinner like me, for a sinner like you, right? That we might what? Have a way back to the Father, that we might be redeemed, that we can experience that kind of love. Not the kind of love that people promise you, but the love that the Father has for us, the love that Jesus has for us, the love that the Holy Spirit has for us. In Luke chapter 1, verse 46, and this is the title of it, if you have it in your Bible, it's called Mary's Song. And Mary's, I didn't spend a whole lot of time of it because sometimes when you're preaching a sermon, you know, and so come back next Christmas, we'll do another series on, you know, we're always going to preach Christmas, right? But we'll talk about the different characters in the Bible, in the birth, in the Christmas story. Mary has an interesting story, right? Because if you go back and you read Luke 1 and 2, and it talks about how the angel Gabriel came to her, right, and says that you're going to be, behold, and she says, I can't. I'm supposed to be married. I'm going to get married to this guy. I can't. She says, no. And then you guys remember Joseph. He's like, man, I got to divorce her on the down low. Like, I'm not trying to have any of this. Because the world would have thought her what? A sinner, right? And through her obedience, right? Through her obedience, she what? gave birth to the Savior. That's another message. That's a 365-day teaser. Come back next year. We'll cover that one. But we pick up with Mary's song, and it says, Mary says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud, in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped the servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Praise God. That's her song, but that's our song, guys. That God is faithful. That he is true, that he is good, right? That he raises up the humble, right? Because what's the first thing? When you got to surrender your life to Christ, you know what you need first and foremost? Is humility. You need to repent and admit that, you know what? Our lives without Christ, they're kind of a mess. We can try to do it on our own, right? This life and this culture that we live in says, figure it out. You're your own man, your own woman. You don't need nobody. I always do the accent, girl, you don't need a man. You don't need to get married. I don't want to have a ball and chain. Like, everything's about yourself, right? The self, myself, I can do it. When we give our life to Christ, we humble ourselves. I say, we don't even have a crown, but throw your fake crown on the ground and say, man, I'm not fit. There's only one person who is fit to be Lord and to wear the crown. And it's not me. And it's not you. It's only Jesus Christ. So Mary's song is just a reminder, right, to all of us that it says, you know what? He restores the humble, people who are rich and have it all. Like that's another message in itself. But the reality of it, that the world is going to promise you a lot of different things that are going to distract you, that will make you feel like you're self-sufficient, right? And those are just, that's all fake news. You know how I know it's fake news? Because every year I turn on the TV and I hear the news and I see people who are at the top of the industry, multimillionaires, world famous, best actors, and every year they're doing something. What are they doing? Oftentimes they're self-medicating themselves unto even death. And those are people who are at the pinnacle, are idols. And that's telling me that, man, you can have all that and still, what? Be completely empty. And what Jesus Christ is offering every one of us today is what? A relationship with him. That we can have an eternal relationship with the Heavenly Father, that we can what? Be filled with peace. We can know his love. And we can know his joy. The fourth fill in the blank is that we praise God because he has sent his son, Jesus, to save us from our sin so we might know him. So we might know him. There's one thing that you'll see time and time again in Jesus' ministry if you take the time to read the Gospels. It was never his will would be done. It was always the will of the Father. It was always the will of the Father. So that God, right, loved us, that he sent his only son, right, that whoever believes shall not perish but have an everlasting life. It was always the Father's will. And so what we're called to do in this life, as a reminder in Christmas, is that you're not called to your job. You're not called to, you know, be a teacher, a handyman, a mechanic, an administrator, a nurse. You're not called to any of that. That's what we do. You know what we're called to? We're called to intimacy with the Father. Through Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is it. When we get that, let me say, like, you know, in some Romans, if God is with us, who can be against us? That's our God. We thank Him for His arrival. We thank Him that He sent His Son. And so even tonight, when you wake up, when you go to sleep, just remember that God came, that He loves you, right? That we do have an obligation, that He does. He doesn't come. It's not, there is something that we have to do, right? You heard me say it before. You have to put your faith in Jesus Christ. He needs to be Lord of our life. A lot of times what we'll see is people will make an emotional decision to say, yeah, I want that. But God is not a genie, guys. He's not a lamp. He doesn't come just to take care of you superficial. He comes to give you a new heart. And so for us, that's what we celebrate. We celebrate the good news of who He is. And we're also going to take communion right now because we're celebrating that Emmanuel's with us, right? God with us. And then we also celebrate the sacraments of what Jesus told us to do. And He told us to do two things, right? What? Baptize Him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then He also says, right, in the upper room, we're going to read it a little bit, to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Because He came as a baby, but He surrendered and He gave His life willingly on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. So at this time, I'm going to ask Stephanie, I'm going to ask Joey, and I'm going to ask my brother. We're going to take communion this morning, guys. And that's an awesome thing. It's something to celebrate. We don't do it but every 6 weeks here. We do it all the time, but we have to just remember what we're doing, what we're celebrating. It's one of the few things that Jesus thinks. I already just told you two things that Jesus told us to do, and this is one of them. And so this is a big deal. And so I'm going to read some scriptures, and before we get into it, because I want you guys to know, right, the number one, taking communion, is for believers, right? So if you haven't given your life to Christ, there's going to be opportunity to do that. If God has been moving you this morning and you're kind of like, you know what? Man, I'm not sure what's going on. Hey, there's no power in my words, guys. There's power in the scripture. And if you believe God and His promises, then that's what we're here to do. We're here to trust Him and to give our lives and surrender to Him. But the first one that we're going to read here is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 27. And it says, so whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body of the and the blood of the Lord. Everyone needs to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment upon themselves. I'll tell you what. That's a clear message to say, like this morning, right? Before we, let me ask you guys to stand up. We're going to pray. And before we start, let me start praying first. Don't sit tight, just guys. Sit tight. We need to pray, right? As I'm praying, I need you to be praying. Because you know what? It's not my, I can pray for you guys. I do pray for the church and for our team. But we all have access to God the Father through Jesus, right? And so for ourselves, when we come, when we repent, there's certain things that you know in your life you have to surrender to the cross today. There's certain sins in your life that you need to say, man, I'm sick and tired of this. I need to surrender this to the cross. And that's what this scripture is about. That's what Paul is telling us. That whoever eats this bread and drinks the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body of the blood of the Lord. So just this before we start, I'm going to say, if there's somebody here that doesn't know who Jesus Christ is, and you want to accept Him today, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand this morning, and I can lead you into that prayer. And if everybody's saved, then praise God. All right, let's Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus, Lord, and we thank you, Lord God, that you are such a good and awesome God. We thank you for your love, for your mercy. We thank you that you came, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we celebrate on this Christmas Eve Sunday, Lord God, your love for us, Lord, your mercy for us, Lord God, that you left the heavenly places to come down to for sinners like us, Lord God. This morning, before we take communion, every one of us, we're all praying, Lord God. We just ask humbly, Lord God. Corporately, I pray that we just surrender whatever is causing hindrance, Lord God. The sin that entangles us, Lord God. That we can just surrender to you. That you're calling us out in faith, Lord God. You didn't mean for us to just have a salvation that is lukewarm, Lord, and a life that is lukewarm, Lord God. That you want us, all of us, Lord. You want all of us, Lord God. Our entire being, Lord God. As an act of worship and devotion to you, Lord. So, Lord God, this morning, while everybody is praying, Lord God, and they're praying for themselves, Lord God, I ask, Lord God, that you, Holy Spirit, Lord God, that you would just divide, Lord God, like your word says, into the marrow, Lord God, if you have to. That you bring conviction, that you bring, and if we have peace, and if we were already fully living right, Lord God, then that's, we're also fooling ourselves, Lord God. We know we have things that we need to repent. We need to let go of these things, Lord. You're calling every one of us, Lord God, to put our best foot forward, Lord God. Not just because it's by works, Lord God, but number one, you want to have a relationship with us. And number two, you don't want to leave us there. So, Lord God, I just thank you this morning, Lord God, for who you are, Lord God. Forgive us, Lord God, for our sins, Lord God. Help us to turn away from those things. Our laziness, Lord God, our disobedience to you, Lord God. Help us to turn away from those things, Lord God. Help us to live for you, Lord Jesus. Help us to wake up every morning like Jose said and just say, Holy Spirit, lead me. Take me on an adventure today. Whatever it is, Lord God, let your will be done in my life, Lord. Not my calendar, not my boss's schedule. Let your will be done today, Lord God. Guide my decisions, guide my steps, Lord God, this morning. But Lord God, forgive us for our sins, Lord God. Help us to turn away from those things. Help us to just recommit, Lord God, to that life that you have for us, Lord God, to be connected to you through your word and through prayer and through fellowship, Lord God, and through corporate worship and gathering. Thank you again for your goodness, Lord God. Thank you that you came, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for your love for us unto the cross, Lord God. We don't take it for granted, Lord God, that you came. We don't take it for granted what it costs you on the what your love, Lord God, and your sacrifice cost you on the cross, Lord God, that we might be able to know you by putting our faith in you, Lord God. So, Lord God, as we celebrate and we get ready to celebrate communion, Lord God, thank you, Lord God, for the reminder that you came and the reminder that we are saved, Lord God, through your blood on the cross, Lord God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Father God, thank you again for this morning, Lord God. Thank you for the reminder, Lord God, that you even tell us, Lord God, that you are good, Lord, that we should even taste and see of your goodness, Lord. And today, Lord God, we're gathered for Christmas Eve Sunday. We're reminded of your goodness, Lord God. We can see your goodness, Lord God. Your word tells us about it. We can experience the fellowship, Lord God. We can sing, Lord God, with our senses. We can hear. We can see the joy that, Lord God, that you bring, Lord God, in this season. And Lord God, even in this, as we're getting ready, Lord, for communion, invite us, Lord God, to taste with all of our senses your goodness, Lord. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this, and whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Father God, thank you again for your goodness, Lord God. Thank you that you love us, Lord God, unto the cross. Thank you for the reminder, Lord God, that we proclaim not only your birth, but your death, Lord God, and what it meant and what it cost you. And through our faith in you, we can have that closeness with the Father, Lord God. Through you, Lord Jesus, with you as Lord of our life, Lord God, we can do all things through you, Lord God. That we have victory, Lord God, not only here, but eternally, Lord God, that we get to celebrate and worship and have communion with you, Lord God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God. Thank you again. Continue to guide us, Lord God, this morning, Lord God. Bless the last worship song, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you bless our time together as we share a meal, as we break bread, Lord God, that you would just be with at the center of what we do, Lord God, of your goodness, Lord God, that we want to have fellowship with each other and fellowship with you, Lord God. So bless our meal, bless our time together. And Lord God, that later as we gather with our families, Lord God, help us just to stay focused, to remind our kids, Lord God, to pray, to give thanks, to bless our time, Lord God, to keep us safe, Lord God, as we go and leave this place, even to our family gatherings, wherever that might be, Lord God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, God, that you are good, that you love us, Lord God. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.